We're going to be doing some preaching out of 2 Peter for a little while. Please stand in reverence to the reading of God's Word. I want to start once again at the beginning of 1st chapter. Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceedingly great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, again, I want to thank you for the Bible, the Word of God. And I thank you tonight for this great opportunity we have, Lord, to gather as a church and, Lord, to hear the Word of God preached, to study your Word tonight, that you might feed us, Father, those spiritual things that we need, that will help us in our spiritual life. I do pray for the Master's Clubs tonight as they're in session. You take care of all of those, Father. Help them, give them safety as they make that bus trip tonight. Watch over them, take care of them. And Lord, once again, we put all this this service in your hands, asking you, God, to direct and help us. And Lord, that you might be honored and glorified in all things. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. You remember last week we went over verse number 1 and 2. I just kind of want to skip over that just a little bit here this evening and just kind of remember where we were. If you remember in verse 1, he identified himself, Simon Peter, and he said he was a servant and he was also an apostle of Jesus Christ. He identified himself as a servant and an apostle, and he was writing this letter to them, he said, who obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. He was writing to folk like you and I who are saved. That's the way we are obtain righteousness. It's God's righteousness through our Lord Jesus Christ. And so he's writing to those at that time who were brethren in the Lord, and certainly he's writing to us this message. And he says, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ. I like the word. If you'll notice sometimes in the Word of God, he mentions multiplied. I like that word. You know, 4 and 4 is 8. 4 times 4 is 16. You gain 8 more. I just like multiplication better than I do anything else. Addition's all right, because on down in verse number 5 and 6 and 7, he talks about adding to your faith. And so addition's okay, but multiplication is real good. And he said he wants grace and peace to be multiplied unto us. And so then he tells us, in this, we was talking about last week how that we need to understand our position, what we are, who we are in Christ. And that's so important. We're going to kind of cover it from a different angle in a few moments. But he wanted us to know what our position was. And then, as we told you last week, he wants you to increase that position. If you look on down in verse 5, 6, and 7, you'll notice he wants us to add to it. He doesn't want you to just be saved. He don't want you just be ready for heaven. That's a wonderful thing, to be ready for heaven. But he wants more than that. He wants you to add to your faith and grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord. You know, one man said something, if something's wrong with a building, look at the foundation. He also said, if something's wrong with a spring of water, look at the source. That is true to a degree. I mean, certainly the foundation is the most important part. The source of a water spring is the most important part. But there is things that can be added along. Foundation can be great, and then the building be maybe not structurally sound. Same thing with a source of water. You get on down the stream a ways, and things can be added to that stream that maybe cause it to be not as good as it ought to be. I think this is one of the warnings that God's putting in his word, that the foundation which we stand on is Jesus Christ. There's no doubt. There's nothing can be wrong with that foundation. Nothing can be wrong. But he also tells us in his word, take heed how you build thereon. So we have to be very careful how we build upon that foundation, which is perfect. Can't be anything else. It's a perfect foundation because it's perfect. The Lord Jesus Christ is perfect. So we know that it is absolutely perfect foundation. But we have to be very careful then how we build, and I think that's what God is telling us in even the first part of this letter here, is you need to increase, you need to build on your faith. You need to add things to your faith. But there's certain things that God does for us that we can't do for ourselves. It's an impossibility for us to do that. You see, the results, though, and let me cover here for just a moment, the results of salvation, if you'll notice in verse number 2, is grace and peace. And it's to be multiplied. That's the results of salvation. The result of knowing Jesus Christ, if you notice there at the end of it, he says, through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. So grace and peace is the result of salvation, and it needs to be multiplied in our life. And we get that wonderful grace and peace by knowing Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. Now, first, there's some things in verse number 3 and 4, which I read to you. There's some things that God says he does for us. If you read those two verses of Scripture, and let me remind you as you go through the Bible, remember something. There's certain things in the Bible that God says he does. There's certain things in the Bible that he requires us to do. Don't try to do God's work. As you read the Scripture, listen and hear what God is saying. Look at verse number 3. According to his divine power, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. God gave those things to us. We'll discuss them in a minute, but God gave those things to us. You can't do it. It's not something you can conjure up. But on down in verse number 5, he tells us, he says, and besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge. These are things that God wants us to do. And we need to remember in our spiritual life to discern the difference. There's a difference as you go through the Scriptures, read the Scriptures, and remember the promises of God. They're his promises. He says, I will do this, I will do that. You can't do it. I can't do it. Let God do his work. Don't try to do God's work for him. He knows much better how to do it than you and I can. I will supply all your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. God says, I will supply all your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. God says, I will supply your needs. Now, he may supply those through a job. He may supply those through other people. He may supply all kinds of things, but he is the one that does the supplying. We can't go out here and claim we've done the supplying for our needs. No, God did it. See, we may be willing to work because God expects us to work and do those things, but it's God that supplies the needs. I was thinking about something. I'll tell you a little incident that happened just the other day. It was no big thing, but God started stirring my heart about how he provides the needs of his people. And I got to take into that in personally, and I got to thinking about how God has supplied my needs. It is just absolutely fabulous to watch God work. I mean, it is amazing to see the working power of God. The other day, a small thing, but I needed some feed for my cow out there. And so I called Jessica and I said, where's David? I need to use his truck. She said, well, he's down at Crane Naval looking at a job down there, doing something down there. He said he'd be back. He's coming back through Bloomfield. And so he said, call him and maybe he'll go get that feed for you. And so I called him and he went through Worthington and picked up the feed for me, brought it out to my house. Him and the boys helped me put it in the barrels, got it all done. And I got to thinking about that after that. Even the smallest details of life, God has a way to provide for us. Now, we a lot of times maybe don't take them as God's provision, but we ought to. We got to remember. So anyway, I began to think, and I got to thinking about things that God had done for me. And I'll tell you what, I just about had a fit. You get to thinking of some of the things that God does for you. It is absolutely amazing. Just the other day, I'm not going to name names, because if I get names, whoever it is will know who it was. But if I get names, I'll forget somebody, and I don't want to hurt feelings. There's been so many people good to this fellow, and I wouldn't want to hurt anybody's feelings. But the other day, there was somebody came out to our house and unloaded a tractor, and a little boy got on the tractor and tilled my garden up. Went over to Pastor Jerry's and tilled his up. Just done it. The other, all down through time, I've had, once in a while, I'll get my wife some flowers. See, once in a while. But there's been somebody in this church has always given me a good price on those flowers, and things like that and taken care of me and watched over us and didn't have to, just did it. I needed a water line run about 2 years ago out at my house, and there was a fellow came out and brought a ditcher and ditched a water line down to the barn for me. Just did it. Last year, I'd made mention that I needed some straw for some bedding, and a fellow called me two or three days later and said, "Hey, Pastor, I know where I can get some straw." I said, "Good price." I think it was $1.40 a bale. I still remember that. I've never bought straw for $1.40 a bale in a long time. And he said, "You want any?" And I said, "Yes, I do." He delivered it, helped me put it in the barn. Now, I'm telling you things. I'm just telling you things because I want you to understand something. God provides even the things many times that are not absolutely needs. Now, many things are needs, but over and over in my life, I have seen this. There was a fellow who came out and helped me run a gas line, put in my new gas stove. There was a fellow who came out one night. I was having trouble in my garage with electricity. Me and electricity don't get along. Amen, brother. Oh. But he came out, and I had an old box there, and he needed to do some work on it to get my garage electricity going again. He came over and done that for me.
You're welcome.
This last year, we had trouble with our oven, and the oven was going out, and we have an oven in the wall where we bought the place out there. It has an oven in the wall, and it has a top, whatever you call one of those things, you know, burners, has just a top for the burners, and both of them was really having trouble with it. They was going out and been there for many years, and so I decided I was going to take the wall oven out and cut out the cabinets there for the put a stove in instead, which I did, but all that electricity was running in through there. And there was a fellow came out and unhooked it all for me and made sure there wasn't any thing hooked up that I'd get electrocuted on, and took care of that, and I went ahead and done the work I needed to do. I think about that. Marvelous, marvelous things that God does and provides for this preacher. Here a couple so years ago, Jerry decided that he was going to have the youth help their preacher, and he said, "We got to go help our preacher. He's bought the roofing for his garage. We're going to go out there, and they're going to put the roof on." And the teenage kids from the boys from the school came out and put my roof on. Carpet was put down in my house. Just put down. We had somebody walk up and give us a basket of strawberries. Good. We had a coupon handed to Donna here a while back, and it said, "This coupon is good for 2 dozen eggs. She turned the coupon in, got 2 dozen eggs. Paper delivered to our house every day. Car worked on I don't know how many times. I couldn't count them. One night was on Wednesday night, and I think this was last year, and we had had some hay cut out there. Jerry and I both had some hay cut and had it baled, and after Wednesday night service, it was supposed to rain. And got home, and a bunch of guys showed up and started loading the hay up and putting it in our barn for us. Some kids came out and got on my roof and started cleaning my guttering out. I like to make furniture, and God provided me a whole stack of lumber so I can make furniture with it. I had been wanting to for years and years. I never had the opportunity to, never had any place to do it, and never had the opportunity to do so. I decided I was going to buy me a radial arm saw and do a little woodwork because I'd never had a hobby in my life. It had always been church. That's all I ever did, back and forth. I never done anything else. And so I bought the radial arm saw, and for Christmas, My daughter got me a bandsaw. Just bought it, brought it out there. I wasn't going to mention names, but I did. But I get things, we get things for Christmas. I got to tell you a story. I was up visiting a man, Mr. Fugers. Tim Fugers' dad, I don't mind telling you. I was up visiting him, we was talking, and he'd been always one of these guys, and he said, and I told my kids, I don't want you to buy me nothing. Don't you ever buy me anything. So, I mean, whenever they did buy him something, I mean, he'd get mad. Now, if you know Mr. Fugers, when he got mad, he gets mad. So you got to understand that. I'll be kind, but he gets mad. And so he said, and he went in the hospital and got all sick, you know, almost died. And I went up there and talked to him. We sat there, and he said, well, he said, I decided maybe he's all right if they bought me something once in a while. He said, I didn't want them to. I wanted them to buy it for their own kids, but I let them. But he said, I told them this. You can buy me anything you want to. You can put a new Cadillac out there in that driveway if you want to, but don't leave no payment book. Don't leave no payment book. Whatever you buy me, it's paid for. Amen. So anyway, but there's been things that God has given us, you know, things that a lot of times you don't have to have them to exist. You really don't. And God gives you some things sometimes and he just wants you to have. It's okay with him if you have them. I never had any idea, honestly. I was never going to buy a computer. So our kids got together and bought us a computer. It was a used one, got us a computer and a desk to go on with it. Whole thing. Donna's happy. You just see her in there working on that computer anymore. I think it's the dumbest thing I ever seen in my life. No, it isn't, but I don't care for computers. I just don't care for computers. They're okay, but she's enjoying it. She likes it, but they do their work. We've had people here at church just bring in a loaf of bread and hand it to us, homemade. Just little things, what people would call little things. We've just seen this over and over in our life. There was a family said last year, said, Pastor Ross, I know you like wild berries, and I always do. I go out and pick blackberries and raspberries, and said, we've got them over at our house. Come on over and pick the berries. Let me come over to their house and pick their berries, wild berries. Kind notes and letters and words of encouragement down through the years that we have received is just unbelievable. People praying for this preacher and his wife is just amazing. What I'm simply saying is this, them are not all needs. Many of them are just things that God allows you to have. But I want to say something to you. God has always, always, always provided for the needs of this preacher. He has never, ever failed because his word says he won't. And he cannot fail. Now, he's given us much more than just needs. But he has never, ever failed to give us our needs. You know why? Because that's the promises of God Almighty. Wonderful God that says he will do that. And so I give you those things to help us to understand something. Let God do his part. Don't try to do his for him. There's things that we're going to talk about in a moment that he wants you to do. Well, we probably won't get to them tonight, but things that he wants you to do in verse 5 through 7, he wants you to do, he wants me to do. But there's certain things that he said to us, I've already given it to you. It's already available to you. You've already got it in your grasp. And many times we fail to use that which we have in our grasp. It's already there. It's already available for us. In verse number 3 and 4, as I told you, them are the things that God has said he has done. He will do. And then in verse number 5 through 7, there are things that we must do, you see. And after he's told us that he will do those things, let him do them. You can't do it anyway. Let him do it. And in fact, it's fascinating if you'll do it. I'll just take a moment. But if you'll go through the scriptures, when you read the scriptures, look at the promises of God that he says he will do. And discern that it is something he says, I will do it. Not something you must do. It's something I have already done. That's just like salvation. Anybody here save themselves? Not a soul in here has saved themselves. God did that. And you and I cannot do it. So let God do his work. If you notice in verse number 3, he says, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. Let me say something to you. This world needs to see God's wonderful divine power working in his children. This world needs to see it. Tina, we needed that testimony tonight that God done for you and took care of you. I mean, he would have taken care of you either way. Isn't that right? But let me say to you, over and over and again in this church, we've seen it over and over and over again. We've prayed. We've asked God. We've seen the divine power of God work, and he did it. And the world needs to see God working in his children. We don't want to go around with our dropped faces and all of these things that we do many times to kind of show forth that maybe God is there, but he sure isn't very good to us. No, he is good. And he's got divine power, and he shows forth that through his people and does marvelous things through us. And he wants to do that, and this world needs that. You see, revival needs to happen. I believe that. I preach revival all the time. Revival needs to happen. It needs to happen at Blessed Old Baptist Church. It needs to happen to this community. It needs to happen in this whole country. Revival needs to come. And what we need to do as a church, as I've said before, what we need to concentrate on is not the world, but the sin that is in our own lives. Concentrate on that. Get that correct. And then God can send us revival. God can do some marvelous things for us. And so I would ask the question, what is the object of our life? What is it? What do we strive for from day to day? If you would just stop and ask, and I would ask you the question, what is the object of your life? What is it? What are you striving for? Be a good question, wouldn't it? Well, you see, in 2 Peter, first chapter, he tells us two things that ought to be the object of our life. And we're going to discuss those fairly quickly. But look in verse number 3. According to his divine power have given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. The very first thing that God wants us to know, to do, is to know God. He wants us to know him. Now, folks, you say, well, everybody knows God. No, everybody doesn't know God. Let me ask you a question. Do you know God? Is he real to you? Can you talk to him? No, he said through the knowledge of God, the righteousness of God and the Lord Jesus, he says you must know God. Is he real to you, or is he just something that's there that you know exists, but he isn't really real to you? God wants us to know him. He wants you and I to have a relationship with him. He wants you to get up in the morning and talk to him as though you would talk to your wife or your father or your mother or somebody like this. He wants you to talk to him and have a relationship with him. He wants you to know him. That's the first thing that he wants out of us, you see, for us to do that. Secondly, in verse number 4, notice he says, whereby given unto us exceedingly great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature. The second thing he wants is so that we will be like him. Not only know him, but have the divine nature. In other words, be like him. And you say, Brother Ross, I'll never be like God. Well, we certainly can be like God to the point where we can be like God. For God's put that in us. There is ways that we can be like Jesus Christ, because the Word of God says that that's why he wants to conform us to the image of Jesus Christ. There's things that Jesus does that we can do. Do you think Jesus was honest? Can we be honest? Do you think Jesus was faithful? Can we be faithful? Well, certainly. What I'm simply saying is we should do those things and be like him. There's a divine nature that's put in us, that God put in us. And he wants us not only to know God, he wants us to be like him, you see. You see, when you're saved, you have a divine nature that comes in to live that's the Holy Spirit of God. You're a new man. You're a new creature. You're not what you used to be. You have within you a divine nature. And the Bible says that in verse 3 that we, according as His divine power, given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue. If you'll notice here, He says He's given us all things. He's given. He didn't say you had to seek for it. He said He's given you all things through the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Folks, life is there. Holiness is there. It's available for us to live that Christian life. You say, I'm going to fail. You certainly are. But don't use the excuse and say, I can't live the Christian life because I'm a human being. Don't say that. God has given all things unto us, as he said there, that pertains to life and godliness. He's given that to us. You and I can live the godly life. Yes, we can. Yes, we can. No, I know we're not perfect, but we can live the godly life. We don't have to follow after this world. We don't have to do what the world does. Now, we make choices to do that. God has already given the ability to do that. How did He do that? He gave us the Holy Spirit of God in us. He gave us a new nature. Did He not? He's told us He's put a new nature in us. Yes, you say, Brother Ross, but I still have that old nature. I know that the old nature is going to fight against that new nature, but you have and I have the new nature in us. He is there in us, you see. And so He says in verse number four, whereby are given unto us exceedingly great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. These great and precious promises. Folks, there's some things that will help us if we'll grasp a hold and understand some things. First of all, you need to understand about the world and its wickedness and its sin. You've got to understand the nature of this world. This world is a wicked place. The old nature is a wicked nature. You've got to understand that. You've got to grasp a hold of that. If you'll notice at the end of verse number 4, He says, escape the corruption that is in this world through lust. This old world has fallen away from God. It is corrupt. It is nothing else but corrupt. When you see this world system, it's not God's system. That's old Satan's system. And it's corrupt from the top to the bottom. And God wants us to understand that it is corrupt. And the world today does not even want to think about God. They don't want to retain God in their knowledge. We've got to understand a new nature says, I've got to do what God wants me to do. I've got to put away what the world is. But the old nature longs for the things of the world. It wants to do what the world wants us to do. You've got to understand, grasp a hold of that thing, and realize that the old world or the old nature is going to long for those things that's absolutely contrary to God. Contrary to Him. Things that drag us further and further and further away from God. You can't let that happen. You've got to let the new divine nature that's in us take a hold and keep us close to the Lord. You see, what the world does is this. The world lives for itself. It lives for pleasure. It lives for its own desires. Don't you understand why the old preacher preaches over and over and over to all of us that we've got to turn loose of this world? We've got to quit desiring the things of this world because that's what old Satan wants. We've got a new nature in us that ought to desire the spiritual things, a spiritual life, godly life, things of God instead of things of this world, you see. And that's what the divine nature causes us to do. It causes us to understand that this old corruption of this world is absolutely corrupt. You know, sometimes I look at it and I think you're not getting it. I don't know where you are or not, but I want to tell you something. It is corrupt. This world is corrupt. It's wicked. Amen? Believe it. And what God wants us to do is turn loose of that thing and say, I want godliness in my life. I want to do the things that God wants me to do. Young people fight this battle, but not only young people fight this battle. I mean all of us fight that battle. There's a draw there from this old world constantly, and we've got to understand we've got to do what God says for us to do. So what is this corrupt nature? What does this old world cause us to do? It ought to cause us to want to know God and to be like Him. Amen. Remember something. If there's a call in your life to go back to the old ways that you used to be, and if there's a call in your life to do the things that the world does, you mark it down. It's not from God. It's from Satan. Amen. You mark that down. That's not God calling you to do that. That's not God putting pressure on you. That's not God beckoning you to come back to the old world. No, 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 no. He wants us to know Him, and He wants us to be like Him. So you see the corruption. You see that corruption that's there in your own heart, and God says in 1 Peter there, you've escaped that. How? Through the knowledge of God. Through knowing God Almighty and being like God Almighty, you've escaped that old corruption of this world. First of all, understand something. When you've accepted Christ as your personal Savior, you have complete, full, complete forgiveness of sin. There is not one sin you have ever committed or ever will commit that is not forgiven under the blood of Jesus Christ. Well, you remember that. You understand that. That's why you want to know God, and you want to know, be more like God. For you have complete forgiveness. I don't care what sin it is. I don't care what you've ever done. It makes no difference what it is. God, when you accept Christ as your personal Savior, washes it clean and wipes it out. Now, that's a marvelous thing. Not only that, He's put within us a power there that is absolutely the power of God. Not only that, you remember something. When you're born again, when you accepted Christ as your personal Savior, you do have a divine nature. That's why, as preachers, and I think we should, and we ought to be very careful with it, got to be careful how we balance it, but you got to remember something. Folks, do you understand there's a lot of people out there that claim Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, and there is absolutely no desire in their heart to live for God? Now, there's a real problem there. There's a real, real problem there. Because God puts within us a divine nature. It's there. You can't get by with it. You can't say, according to Scripture, that it's not there. Holy Spirit of God came in to live. There's a divine nature in each and every one that's born again. You see. And so when you're born again, if you truly are born again, you have a divine nature in you. Amen. You say, Brother Ross, can people get away from God? Sure they can get away from God. The old nature fights and battles. But I want to tell you, that divine nature doesn't leave. And that divine nature is in every person that's born into the family of God. So you want to be careful. I believe all over this country. I want you to tell you something. I believe this with all of my heart. I believe all over this country there's people in churches all over this country that's proclaiming Christ that don't know Him. They've never met Him. They only playing. They're playing a game. Or they've been convinced because of something that they've gotten somewhere along the line. They surely must have it because they said a word or two. Salvation is not a word or two. Salvation is receiving Christ into your heart. Amen. So when we're born again, we have a new nature. Not only that, when you're born again, do you understand that you now have available to you and I the wisdom of God? Did you understand that? You know, before we walked according to the wisdom of man. Folks, you don't have to wonder and fret and worry about all these things. You have available to you the wisdom of God. If you lack wisdom, ask of God. That's what God says. It's available to you. Whew. I want to tell you something, folks. That's a marvelous thing when you know you can have God's wisdom. God's not going to leave you hanging out to dry. He loves you. And He'll give you His wisdom as you need it. He'll give it to you. Amen. The grace of God is ours too. I heard a fellow say one time, he said, I don't need the grace of God to die until I die. There's a lot of times we don't need the grace that we kind of want sometimes. Go need it because we're not ready for it. Don't need it at that time. That's kind of like the wisdom of God. As you need the wisdom of God, seek it, ask Him for it, and He will give it to you. It's a promise of God. You know what I like? And He says in Psalms 32:8, He says, I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. I don't know about you, but I've grasped a hold of that verse multitudes of years ago, and I've asked God for His guidance. I've kept a hold of that verse of Scripture. He's promised to instruct me and teach me in the way that I should go. He would guide me with His eye. That's a promise of God. And God has never, ever done wrong. If there was any wrong done, it was because I didn't listen. But God guides and He instructs. He does all of those things that we need at just the proper time in life. I might go back over that just for a moment. You go back to the scripture in Psalms 32, you'll find out that David was away from God and he was sinning. One of the first things he had to do at that time, he had to confess that sin and get it right. Okay? He had to get it right. And then if you'll notice that after that, he talked about his communion with God. He had sweet communion with God. Once again, you see, he got it right. He was in sin. He got it right. He had sweet communion returned unto him, sweet communion with God. Then God come along and he says, I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way that thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. It was after sin was taken care of. It was after the communion was restored. Then he says, now I'm ready to guide you. You see, we go out here many times and people go out and they want God's guidance in their life and they've got sin in their life. What do you want God to do? Guide you in your sin? What do you want God to do? He didn't do it for David. David got his correct, got it forgiven. He confessed it. He confessed his sin to God Almighty, and God forgave his sin, cleansed him, restored the communion, and then he says, okay, I'll guide you. Amen? See, we think sometimes, we say, all right, God, you've promised in your word just to guide me. Well, he did. But you've got to look at the process. God did guide him. But he done it after David took care of his sin. He confessed his sin. He turned from his sin, got it taken care of. He was restored to communion with God, and then God says, okay, I'll guide you. Amen? So I'm simply saying to you folks, do it God's way. You see, we think that we're going to continue in sin, and God's going to just come along and say, okay, I'll guide you here, and I'll guide you there. It doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way. You want God's guiding, you want God's leading, you get your sin taken care of in your life. You get that taken care of. You get it forgiven. You get it confessed before God. You get it turned from. And you go on for God. And God's willing to forgive you and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. No doubt about that. He'll do it. And then He'll restore communion with you. And then He'll guide you. Marvelous, isn't it?
Yes.
Sure it is. So God will do that. Now you have available to you the guidance of Almighty God. He'll guide you. He won't leave you nor forsake you. See, He'll do that for you. You see, and not only that, we have the armor of God for our protection. Say, I worry about this, I worry about that. Well, put on the armor of God. God's armor is there to protect you, take care of you. Not only that, we have the promise after life, we have the promise of heaven. Whew. Heaven. A wonderful place that God has promised. That's a promise of God Almighty, you see. That's His promise. He'll give us heaven. We'll be with Him forever. It's a promise of God. I want you to listen to this. He said, "Which He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ." Did you know God's not going to give up on you? Do you know He will perform it? If you're one of His children, He will perform it. Yes, He will. He will perform it. He's promised that. You see? So don't fight Him. Don't fight Him. Kevin Albert today was talked about how being separating ourselves unto the Lord, settling the fact of our salvation and separating ourselves unto the Lord. And he talked about the fact that when we won't stay clean like we ought to stay clean, that God comes along and puts us in the circumstances of life and works us over good and helps us till we do get clean. So what we do is, instead of getting clean like we should, we fight God, and God has to put you in the treadmill of the circumstances of life and just work on you until you do, till you or I do. Amen? But he ain't gonna quit. We're His children. He loves us. He's doing it because He loves you. But boy, we fight Him, don't we? Don't people just fight Him? Just won't let Him have His will in their life? Just stands against Him? When you know that there's something in your life that He wants to be different, and we just fight against Him, amen? Well, you're not going to win the battle. Neither am I. It's impossible. So God's great power is there available, working in us. And He wants to do all these things for us. Amen? There's some things He wants us to do, but we'll talk about those next week, Lord willing. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank You again today for the wonderful grace of God and Your goodness and Your kindness. And all that you've done for us, and thank you for the blessings of the Word of God and the promises, those precious promises, you called them here in 2 Peter, and they are precious promises, and I thank you for them, and ask you, God, to help us to understand them and to make ourselves available so that, Lord, that you can give those promises to us, and that we would be what you'd want us to be. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.